content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded back in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of this program, too. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of May and June 2018 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. We begin today with a look at a book called The Fallen by David Baldacci, one of the most popular authors today. Here's the plot. While on what's supposed to be a low-key vacation, Amos Decker accidentally finds all kinds of trouble in The Fallen, the latest novel in David Baldacci's New York Times best-selling Memory Man series. Now, following the events of The Fix, retired NFL player he's a cop turned star agent of an elite FBI task force, Amos Decker and his partner Alex Jameson head to Barronville, Pennsylvania, to visit Alex's sister Amber and her children. Still socially awkward, one of several symptoms resulting from a bone-crushing hit to his head while playing linebacker in the NFL, Decker struggles to connect with his partner's family. Only little Zoe, the 6-year-old with an old soul, gets him to open up a bit when Amos admits to himself, while sipping a beer on the back deck, that when it comes to catching killers, it's really the other thing I'm good at. Along with being a tad awkward, the career-ending hit also left Decker with two unique traits, hyperthymesia and synesthesia. In layman's terms, Decker can now associate things such as death, for example, with a color. And this is, there's a footnote here, this is similar to Dominika Egorova's abilities in Jason Matthews' book, The Red Sparrow, that trilogy, if you've read that. Also, he cannot forget anything, ever. Decker's mind works like a security camera with an unlimited amount of hard drive space to store video data on. He takes everything in and can play it all back when needed, replaying events and images in his mind with absolute clarity. Obviously, this is a valuable trait to the FBI, who hired up the memory man to use his unique skills to solve high-profile crimes. And while his condition has enabled him to be successful in his new career, Decker's inability to forget is also a curse. Bad memories, painful moments in his past, the types of things that people would want to suppress and move on from, are still fresh in his mind. Sadly, that includes the death of his wife and daughter. By all accounts, Decker is brilliant. Even little Zoe gets a kick out of his ability to memorize things with no effort. But he's also damaged. This time around, Alex is trying to help encourage her partner to relax a bit. And Decker tries, at least until he notices the neighbor's lights flicking next door, followed by sparks shooting through the window. Upon investigating things, Decker finds the reason for the flying sparks. Blood from a corpse has begun soaking into exposed electrical wires. It turns out that the dead body is one of several recent homicides to hit Barronville over the past few weeks. With the local police unable to make any headway on the open cases, Decker and Alex call off their vacation, roll up their sleeves, and get to work. It doesn't take long for the duo to realize that nothing about the small Pennsylvania town is quite what it seems, as Barronville has struggled since the local mill closed and an opioid addiction broke out among the town's people. After chasing several leads, an attempt is made on Decker's life. But rather than scaring off the large FBI agent, Amos now knows he's barking up the right tree. He just needs to stay alive long enough to reach the top and expose the real bad guys. With more than 130 million copies of his books in print around the world, David Baldacci is one of the most beloved and successful storytellers of his time. Amazingly, he continues to juggle multiple best-selling series, a list that'll grow when he introduces readers to Atlee Pine, an all-new character in this November's Long Road to Mercy, something to look forward to if you're a Baldacci fan. A year or two ago, I'd have been tempted to say that Decker was Baldacci's second or third best active protagonist, after Will Robey and John Puller. However, Baldacci's last three Decker novels have been terrific, elevating the memory man to the top of the list. His ability to recall his flawless but as a character, Amos Decker is deeply flawed, and David Baldacci continues to use that and develop him masterfully. Amos Decker shines again in The Fallen by David Baldacci, and it's one of his best. And some of those comments there were made in a Kirkus review. The next book I'd like to take a look at right now is called Look for Me by Lisa Gardner. In number one New York Times best-selling author Lisa Gardner's latest twisty thrill ride, Detective D.D. Warren and Finders Flora Dane return in a race against the clock to either save a young girl's life or bring her to justice. The home of a family of five is now a crime scene, four of them savagely murdered, one a 16-year-old girl missing. Was she lucky to have escaped, or is her absence evidence of something sinister? Detective D.D. Warren is on the case, but so is survivor-turned-avenger Flora Dane. Seeking different types of justice, they must make sense of the clues left behind by a young woman who, whether as victim or suspect, is silently pleading, "Look for me." And that's the name of the book by Lisa Gardner. The next book that was quite popular during the last couple of months at the Library for the Blind is The Family Lawyer. It's by James Patterson, Christopher Charles, and a few other authors. The Family Lawyer, with Robert Rothstein, Matthew Hovhaness is living a parent's worst nightmare. His young daughter is accused of bullying another girl into suicide. But this loving father is also a skilled criminal defense attorney, and something here just doesn't add up. There are actually three different stories in this particular book. The next one is called Night Sniper, with Christopher Charles. Cheryl Mayburn is the NYPD's most brilliant detective and the most damaged. Now she must confront her darkest fears to stop a calculating killer committing random murders. And the third part of this particular series of novels, which is all compiled in one book called The Family Lawyer, the third part is called The Good Sister, with Rachel Housel Hall. Her beloved sister's cheating husband has been found dead, and now Dani Lawrence must decide if she will help the investigation that could put her sister away or obstruct it by any means necessary. Once again, this is called The Family Lawyer, and it's a series of three different stories by James Patterson, Christopher Charles, and several other authors. It sounds good. I think you'd enjoy it. Now let's move on to another popular author. We've read many summaries of books about this particular author, J.D. Robb. This book is called Dark in Death, and this is a Kirkus review, by the way. for Lieutenant Eve Dallas's 46th case, Rob resurrects the plot of the old copycat horror movie Theater of Blood. But instead of having a murderer imitate Shakespearean crimes, she uses scenes written by a 2061 mystery novelist. What's scarier than a screening of Psycho? Well, the murder of an audience member in the middle of the iconic shower scene. That's what. The victim is actress Chanel Ryan, whose roommate and companion, veterinarian Lola Kowalski, swears that she didn't have an enemy in the world. But the meticulous planning of the killer who lured Lola away from her seat in the movie theater with a bogus emergency phone call moments before plunging an ice pick into Chanel's back makes it clear that this was no random act of violence. Eve and her sidekick, Detective Amelia Peabody, have barely started to question the obvious witnesses when really famous novelist Blaine Delano comes to the station to confess that one of her thrillers provided a detailed blueprint for the murder, and indeed for the killing of Rosie Kent, who was strangled a month ago in a scenario clearly borrowed from another of Blaine's best-selling novels. Once Eve and Peabody have satisfied themselves that the murderer is indeed cribbing from Blaine, they take the logical next step, scouring the rest of her work for the fictional victims most likely to be replicated by the real-life killer, identifying the New Yorkers who match their profiles most closely and warning them to watch their backs. Their efforts aren't enough to prevent a third murder. But by the time they finally make an arrest, Eve, who'd rather be spending the time celebrating the winter vacation of her megabucks husband Rourke's majordomo Somerset by making love in every possible new location in their mansion, as it were, has collected so much evidence that her climactic interrogation of the perp, normally a high point in the series, is merely a formality. It's interesting to see Rob's evergreen heroine trying to prevent murders in addition to investigating them, even if her indifferent success makes her efforts less than inspiring. This is a fairly new book. It was published in the end of January of this year, 2018. It's called Dark in Death by J.D. Robb. Now let's move on to a book called The Rising Sea by Clive Cussler and Graham Brown. Indefatigable bestseller Cussler shows no sign of flagging in his 15th Pneumophiles novel. That's after 2017's book Nighthawk, which was also co-authored with Brown. An adventurous mix of archetypal mysterious substances, futuristic technology, ancient legends, and global ecological disaster. The sea levels are rising, and not just from boring old climate change. A secret Chinese operation mining golden adamant, a living metamaterial capable of accomplishing things that no other material derived from the earth or created in the lab can match, triggers the release of water stored in minerals deep below the bottom of the sea that threatens to engulf the world. Kurt Austin, Joe Zavala, and the rest of the National Underwater and Marine Agency Special Assignments Team race to stop the Chinese conspirators and stem the climbing tides. A far-fetched ending involving perfect android replicas of Austin and Zavala attempting to assassinate the Prime Minister of Japan strains credulity, but otherwise readers are deep in Cussler territory, and the water is just fine. And that book is called The Rising Sea by Clive Cussler and Graham Brown. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thanks for joining me today. Now we'll move on to a book by Jude Devereaux. This one is called As You Wish. One fateful summer, three different women find themselves together in Summerhill, Virginia, where they find they have much more in common than they realized. 60-year-old Olivia's first marriage was long and unhappy, but now she is a newlywed, thrilled to finally be starting her life with the man she's always truly loved, even if they are getting a late start. Kathy is in her 40s and married to a handsome, successful businessman. Theirs would be a fairy tale romance if it weren't for one problem. He's passionately in love with someone else. 20-something Elise is also in a troubled marriage, stuck with the man her wealthy parents chose for her. Now that he has a pregnant mistress, he seems willing to go to drastic lengths to take Elise out of the picture. Though each of them wound up at the summer house for separate reasons, it's not long before they begin to open up about their regrets, their wishes, and their dreams. And when they are presented with the opportunity of a lifetime, a chance to right the wrongs of their past, all three discover what can happen when dreams really do come true. A heartfelt, magical tale, As You Wish, is a shining example of Jude Devereaux's enchanting storytelling that will charm long-term fans and delight a whole new generation of readers. As You Wish, the name of that book, by Jude Devereaux. Now let's take a look at a book by Megan Miranda. This is entitled The Perfect Stranger, and this is from the author of the New York Times bestseller All the Missing Girls, which was the gripping story of a journalist who sets out to find her missing friend, a friend who may never have existed at all. When Leah Stevens' career implodes, a chance meeting with her old friend Emma Gray offers her the perfect opportunity to start over. Emmy, just out of a bad relationship, convinces Leah to come live with her in rural Pennsylvania, where there are teaching positions available, and no one knows Leah's past, or Emmy's. When the town sees a spate of vicious crimes and Emmy Gray disappears, Leah begins to realize how very little she knows about her friend and roommate. Unable to find friends, family, a paper trail, or a digital footprint, the police question whether Emmy Gray existed at all, and they mark Leah as a prime suspect. Fighting the doubts of the police and her own sanity, Leah must uncover the truth about Emmy Gray and along the way confront her old demons, find out who she can really trust, and clear her own name. Megan Miranda delivers a deep, dark, and twisty novel just as thrilling as her New York Times bestseller, All the Missing Girls. This one is entitled The Perfect Stranger by Megan Miranda. Now let's take a look at another Kirkus review, and this is about about a very, very interesting story, futuristic type of story. It's called Origin by Dan Brown, a very, very big author. Another Brown, Inferno 2013 blockbuster, blending arcana, religion, and skullduggery. Sound familiar? With the latest headlines. You just have to know that when the first character you meet in a Brown novel is a debonair tech mogul and the second a bony-fingered old bishop, you'll end up with a clash of ideologies and worldviews. So it is, Edmund Kirsch, once a student of longtime Brown hero Robert Langdon, the Harvard symbologist turned action hero, has assembled a massive crowd, virtual and real, in Bilbao to announce that he's discovered something that's destined to kill off religion and replace it with science. It would be ungallant to reveal just what the discovery is, but suffice it to say that the religious leaders of the world are in a tizzy about it, whereupon one shadowy Knights of Malta type takes it upon himself to put a bloody end to Kirsch's nascent heresy. Ah, but what if Kirsch had concocted an AI agent so powerful that his own death was just an inconvenience? What if it was time for not just schism, but singularity? Digging into the mystery, Langdon finds a couple of new pals, one of them that computer avatar, and a whole pack of new enemies who, not content just to keep Kirsch's discovery under wraps, also frown on the thought that a great many people in the modern world, including some extremely prominent Spaniards, find fascism and Falconism passé and think the reigning liberal pope is a pretty good guy. Yes, Franco is still dead, as are Christopher Hitchens, Julian Jaynes, Jacques Derrida, William Blake, and other cultural figures Brown enlists along the way, and that's just the beginning of the body count. The old ham-fisted Brown is here in full glory. In that instant, Langdon realized that perhaps there was a macabre silver lining to Edmund's horrific murder. The vivacious, strong-minded beauty had turned Julian's world upside down. But for all his defects as a stylist, it can't be denied that he knows how to spin a yarn, and most satisfyingly. The plot is absurd, of course, but the book is a definitive pleasure. Prepare to be absorbed, and in more ways than one. And I have to say, as a little personal testimony, I did read Origin right after it came out, and it really is quite an interesting book. It's by Dan Brown, who wrote The Inferno and, of course, The Da Vinci Code, one of his early works that was so controversial. Origin by Dan Brown. Now let's take a look at a book that's called The Mountain Between Us by Charles Martin. That may sound familiar to you because it is now a major motion picture starring Kate Winslet and Idris Elba. And that came out, actually, I think, last year. An atmospheric, suspenseful, and gripping story of two people finding love while fighting to survive. Here's the plot. When a blizzard strands them in Salt Lake City, two strangers agree to charter a plane together, hoping to return home. Ben Payne is a gifted surgeon returning from a conference, and Ashley Knox, a magazine writer, is en route to her wedding. But when unthinkable tragedy strikes, the pair find themselves stranded in Utah's most remote wilderness in the dead of winter, badly injured and miles from civilization. Without food or shelter and only Ben's mountain climbing gear to protect themselves, Ashley and Ben's chances for survival look bleak. But their reliance on each other sparks an immediate connection, which soon evolves into something more. Days in the mountains become weeks as their hope for rescue dwindles. How will they make it out of the wilderness? And if they do, how will this experience change them forever? Heart-wrenching and unput-downable, The Mountain Between Us will reaffirm your belief in the power of love to sustain us. I did not have the opportunity to see that movie, but just reading the summary of the book here, I suspect this might be one of those cases where the book is better than the movie. It's called The Mountain Between Us by Charles Martin, and it's available at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Now let's turn to the number one New York Times best-selling author Fern Michaels. This is a new novel, deeply satisfying and uplifting story of one woman's journey from heartbreak to triumph. It is called Sweet Vengeance by Fern Michaels. Tessa Jameson couldn't have imagined anything worse than losing her beloved twin girls and husband until she was convicted of their murder. For 10 years, she has counted off the days in Florida's Correctional Center for Women, fully expecting to die behind bars. Fighting to prove her innocence holds little appeal now that her family's gone. But on one extraordinary day, her lawyers announce that Tessa's conviction has been overturned due to a technicality, and she's released on bail to await a new trial. Hounded by the press, Tessa retreats to the small tropical island owned by her late husband's pharmaceutical company. There she begins to gather knowledge about her case. For the first time since her nightmare began, Tessa feels a sense of purpose in working to finally expose the truth and avenge her lost family. One by one, the guilty will be led to justice, and Tessa can gain closure. But will she be able to learn the whole truth at last and reclaim her freedom and her future? Well, you'll have to read or listen to this book in order to find the answer to that question. It's called Sweet Vengeance by Fern Michaels. Now here's a very popular book by Dean Koontz. It's called The Whispering Room. Here's the plot. No time to delay. Do what you were born to do. Fame will be yours when you do this. Now, these are the words that ring in the mind of mild-mannered, beloved schoolteacher Cora Gunderson, just before she takes her own life and many others in a shocking act of carnage. When the disturbing contents of her secret journal are discovered, it seems certain that she must have been insane. But Jane Hawke knows better. In the wake of her husband's inexplicable suicide and the equally mysterious deaths of scores of other exemplary individuals, Jane, the investigator here, picks up the trail of a secret cabal of powerful players who think themselves above the law and beyond punishment. But the ruthless people bent on hijacking America's future for their own monstrous ends never banked on a highly trained FBI agent willing to go rogue and become the nation's most wanted fugitive in order to derail their insidious plans to gain absolute power with a terrifying technological breakthrough. Driven by love for her lost husband and by fear for the 5-year-old son she has sent into hiding, Jane Hawke has become an unstoppable predator. Those she is hunting will have nowhere to run when her shadow falls across them. This is another Jane Hawke novel by Dean Koontz, and it is called The Whispering Room. And we have time for one more quick summary. It's a book called Night Moves. It's an Alex Delaware novel by Jonathan Kellerman. Alex Delaware returns here, a brilliant criminal psychologist. Alex works with the police to help solve the most complex of crimes in Los Angeles, city of illusions, glamour, and infamy. An affluent family returns home from Sunday dinner, only to find the murdered and brutalized corpse of a total stranger in their house. This baffling, twisted tale tests Alex and Milo to their intellectual and emotional limits. It's called Night Moves, an Alex Delaware novel by Jonathan Kellerman. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you would like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind, simply Google or search North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free 1-888-888-388-2460. Again, that's 1-888-388-2460. You can also use these same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. That's a wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. Now, this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.